Well, I asked Brian the topic of his talk, and I know the word legacy appears in the title of his talk, and it reminded me of when I first met him. It must have been close to 15 years ago, Brian. I had began to think about, what my legacy might be to the point where I went to a meeting which was titled Leave a Legacy, sponsored by the Canadian Association of Gift Planners. And I never knew there was such an organization. And who did I see when I walked in but Brian Wunnick. And we began to talk, probably coffee time. And so our relationship goes back then. I think we all begin to think when we start having grandchildren, and some of us even have great-grandchildren, and we begin to think, I wonder if our kids will go to the school we went to. I wonder if our kids will go to the church we go to. What will our legacy be? Is a legacy only money? Well, Brian has talked to me and Merv Hefting and some others every Tuesday morning. We get together and talk about these things, and I'll tell you, my understanding of what my legacy might be is a lot bigger than it used to be. So let's welcome Brian as he talks. What is our true legacy?
Thank you very much for this opportunity to meet with you. And, I want to, first of all, to encourage each of you here to participate. I have a number of questions that I'm really throwing out to you folks. And it's when I did work with Lutheran Foundation Canada, I called on a lot of folks with regard to the wills and estate plan. And we were well focused on doing the will part. Probably all of you have been to a lawyer at some point, you worked for your will. But you'll notice that the title is really the last will and testament. What is your last will and testament? But when do we do the testament portion of that? And maybe the bigger question is, what is the last testament? Anyone want to hazard a guess? What are we talking about? Anyone? Thank you. Right on the nose. The story of your life. Okay. But a lot of you here maybe have been involved in your family history. How many here have worked on family histories? Me too. Yeah. One side, both sides, right? What kinds of stories do you share?
The good
What's
ones.
That? There was a funny one over there.
The non-criminal ones.
I'm sorry?
The non-criminal.
Non-criminal, okay. Something that keeps you just out of the edge of jail, right? But, you go back and you connect to the histories, and you go back one generation, two, three, four. It's interesting how far some folks have gone. But the point that I really wanted to make with you is that the focus of your story, although it's all of life, all those things that swirl around from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, what do you think as Christians should be the focus of our story? Or an element, at least, that we shouldn't miss. But I think it should be the focus. What might be the focus?
Our walk with Christ.
Our walk with Christ. She did her homework, I guess. That's right. And that's what, as I visited with many people over the years, they do the will part, but they would hardly ever touch or discuss their walk with Christ. So I started to look around, and I actually bumped across an article from a Christian school in Kansas. And the development person had actually written a really good article on why don't we do that other part of our will and do the testament or the story part. And as Christians, and why shouldn't it focus on our faith walk with our Lord throughout our life. I mean, of all the things that you want to leave and tell your children, I think we all feel passionately about our concern for their spiritual walk that they develop with their Lord, between their Lord and themselves. We as parents can guide, we can pray for, we can coach, we can encourage, we can set the example. But what do you think you want to tell them in that story that expresses your faith walk with your Lord? And I'm just throwing out questions. I want you to think through this. Because we won't get into that. This would be a longer process if we did. But I really want to introduce that and challenge you and encourage you. Now, it's interesting, when I went into the Old Testament, and I picked this up from a friend of mine, and he said, Brian, if you look in Deuteronomy, the Levites were what? Today we would call them what?
Priests.
Priests, pastors, yeah. And they had a special relationship through Aaron and all that group, from Moses to Aaron and so on, all the way down the line. But in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it's something really caught my attention. So the Levites will have no land of their own like the other Israelites. The Lord will be their inheritance as he promised them. What is your inheritance that you've been given? What's the gift that you've been given? And then how are you going to shape that story around that relationship with that gift to pass on to your children and grandchildren? So my comment used to be, when you've lost grandpa's last tool, when you've broken grandma's last teacup, what's left? Well, could be your son or your daughter or your grandchildren say, let's sit down and let's take out the story that grandma and grandpa have written of their not only family history, but their faith walk with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's talk about that. Let's hear their story. Does that resonate with you folks? Does it? Yeah. I hope it does. Because it's also a wonderful witness to your children that you valued them all these times. So, that statement for us is true. Now, it's interesting, in the Old Testament, as you know, the Levites were a very special group set aside. But as you move into the New Testament and you go into Hebrews and you have the reference of the priesthood of all believers, our relationship with our Lord has actually changed, if you will, improved. Remember the temple curtain being torn from the top down? Do we need to go through someone now, as the people of Israel did in their time? No. We have direct access to our Lord. So you are as much priests and called as any pastor is in the general sense. Pastors, I think, have a special call. But it's not to elevate them or give them any special status. They're all on the same plane. So I wanted just to challenge you in that. So what I did is I found some information, and actually some of this is available on the website, and there are resources that we can share with you for those of you that would like to get just a little bit more. I really pulled together then some information on how do I start putting together a story around my faith walk. So I'm not going to touch those, but I actually have that kind of information. And there's questions. I always throw questions out at you to get you to think. And it's up then to you to set your own goals and your own objectives in terms of fleshing out that story. One of the things that helps in the story creation for yourselves is think about this phrase, this question. Tell me about a time in your life when you felt or sensed God in a special way. Just think about that. Tell me about a time in your life when you felt or sensed God in a special way. What were the circumstances? Who was involved? Think quietly to yourself. And you can all remember. I have a couple of incidents in my life that were just powerful. Now you have those thoughts. My question is, have you written them down? Have you shared them with your family? That's the big thing. Now, who could help you do this writing? Who do you think? if you need some help. Some of you might find it helpful. But who might you work with?
Your own family.
Your own family, especially who?
Spouse.
Spouse. And also?
Children.
And?
Sibling.
I like grandchildren, too. I think with grandchildren, there's a special connection. And if there's a deficit in our society in terms of relationships, it's the parent to the grandchild, isn't it? There's so many younger people today that just have not had the love and the coaching and the guidance and the encouragement of grandparents. So you can be a blessing. And you can take on broader levels of family. But who might help you with this process? I think there's a lot to be said just for working with your family. And yes, your spouse and your children and your grandchildren. What a great time to sit down and you know, spill out the story. In the meantime, what's your grandchild doing? Well, typing it. I have to get caught up here. So I just wanted to leave you with that thought. there are some other areas that you can do in your estate plan. So the story of your faith walk with your Savior and those moments, yes, of struggle, of deep turmoil, of hardship. We've all experienced something along those lines. As you work through it and as you got through it, in retrospect and looking back, you could see what? Whose hand? God's hand. And when you're in the middle of it, not quite so easy. When you're in the middle of it, he calls for us to trust and believe and have faith in him, that he is looking after us. So there's just a few other things that I want to add. As I found, there's a phrase that you'll know. It says, and I'm going to leave a blank here because I think you can fill it in. You will be my blank in all the earth. What's the word I'm looking
witness.
For? I'm sorry?
Witness.
Witnesses or witness, yes, in all the earth. So one of the things that we developed was to encourage people to include a witness in your will. It's called the Christian preamble. And some of you maybe heard this before, but I have samples of that that you're most welcome to take and use. So what a wonderful witness to your family. The last thing they'll hear from you, other than the story that you know all going to go out and write, but within your will. And to simply witness to your faith in Jesus Christ. Saying something, my faith in Jesus Christ was the most important gift I've ever received. And I urge my heirs and family and friends not to place their hopes on uncertain riches, but to place their faith and hope in whom?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our witness, and a powerful one. Because at death, you will notice, and I've seen it, and you have all seen it, at the death of a friend or a loved one, someone close to you, spiritually, people open up for a short time. For a short time, it varies. But it is a special time, and when we see someone else's end, we say, well, that could happen to us. So, the Christian preamble, again, I can give you samples of that. Now, next question, who usually plans the funeral service? Who usually does it?
The family.
Okay, let's just flip that around a little bit. Who do you think could actually plan the funeral service?
Me.
You could. Exactly. What are the benefits when you plan it? Sit out with your family and friends. But what are the benefits? Who gets helped?
It's less work for your family, but it's also the hymns I like to give to your son.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you, when you're in the midst of it, and I've actually seen this happen, it's a very emotional time. And can you, any other time of the day, you could recall grandma's favorite or your mother's favorite hymn or Bible verse, but on that day when she passes away, you'll struggle. Well, then why not do it ahead of time? And again, I just want to urge you, and you can do some wonderful planning. It also helps our children and grandchildren to deal with the inevitability of death. But for Christians, is death is a door through which we pass, not a wall that dead ends our total existence. So there is it's sweet sorrow. There's that mixture, isn't it? So the other item here I just want to mention because of some of the things that I do in the gift planning area. But the other thing that you can do that also sets a wonderful example for your children is that if you place a gift in your will, And there might be a number of charities, but Include for Adoptive Church is one of the charities that you support. And sometimes your children may scratch your head and say, why did mom or dad do that? But that's okay. It's your life, not theirs. It's your relationship with your Lord. That's prime. Theirs is also critical, no question. But, you know, that it's very important. So take those moments, and what a witness to them to take some of the gifts that God has given them in terms of their financial resources and share it to support the work of the church. Because someday, in heaven, when we're all there, someone is going to walk over to Bill as he's in heaven. Yep. And if he gets in, all the rest of us are sure to be there. Or say when he does. Someone's going to tap him on the shoulder and is going to say, Bill, I am here today because of a gift that you left to support the work of First Baptist Church. I came to hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I came to faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you. And that's a special, that's something that no other kinds of gift does. And we don't know if that would be the case, by the way, but it's very likely it could be. If we're dreaming, then stretch your mind in terms of the possibilities. And also, be the bridge for when friends and family enter the special stage of retirement and all those years that follow. And there is a book, and there was a resource on the website, but there is a book called When Every Day is Saturday. So I have I did a summary of it, but it's just really good checkpoints. It's an easy read. It's a quick read. But you can be the person that helps this individual to bridge in their retirement. So people move from a certain amount of success in the work that they've done. And I found that as I talked with folks as they were in their middle 40s to middle 50s and on, somewhere in there, they started to be more concerned about their spiritual significance. And they were searching. So you can be the bridge and the help that guides them along to help them discover God's plan for them at this stage in their lives. So I'm throwing a number of things out to you here today, and we can summarize them for you. And I'll just end on this. Be His light. Be His light. There is no natural goodness in light in terms of any of us. It's all His light streaming through us through our faith in Christ. And we're to be those mirrors that reflect His grace and His goodness. So be His light. So how do we continue to be His light? Let's continue to be. I'm sure all of you have been to varying degrees. On what do we focus? Our attitude should be one of what?
Thanksgiving.
What else?
Joy.
Peace, thankfulness, encouragement, it goes on. And I like the word joy, because you take the acronym, and some of you have heard this, I'm sure. So who joy is, the J in joy is for whom? Jesus, right? And who? What's the O?
Others
and?
Yourself.
Yeah. Another way we used to put it is my Savior, my neighbor, and myself. Now the world flips that order around, doesn't it? But you can be that. So here's a guideline that I found and I shared with some of the people around here the last couple of days. It's from St. Paul in Philippians 4. And it's very important to maintain that positive, thankful, grateful attitude, however difficult circumstances may be around us. But here's what St. Paul says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I like the word ponder. It's like a cow bringing up the cud. You sort of think about it again and again. Maybe not a good example when you come off, when you've been in the farm and cooking business, you just come to that actually. But I really like that. And there is actually a lot of research today that strongly supports exactly what St. Paul is saying. And that as Christians, there's no one that should be more happy on this earth in one sense. There's no one else that can live in the grace and the forgiveness that is ours through faith in Christ. So St. Paul Paul says, whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put into practice. So do. So get the mind and the heart collided. It isn't an either or. You know, the longest distance that we walk is the 18 inches from our head to our heart. That's not an either or, but it's connecting the two. And then go and do. And God of peace will be with you. So here's sort of the next couple of steps I'm going to leave with you. Have you lived a life filled with appreciation? Appreciation is a key thing. So, be grateful and focus on what? Christ. And what are the other things that he gives us? What do we sometimes call them? What does he give us in a big general term?
Benefits.
Blessings. Good. Well, you're on it. So the focus is on the blessings. And the greatest blessing is our gift in faith and the forgiveness of sins that flows and connects us with the Father through the Son. So choose, what kinds of thoughts and feelings would you choose? Anyone?
Good thoughts.
Good thoughts. Positive thoughts.
Uplifting.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Uplifting.
Uplifting. Thank you. All those kind of things. Notice I use the word choose. So you got to work at this. And this is sometimes pretty challenging work to keep ourselves on this. But the focus on our blessings. Choosing positive thoughts and feelings. Using what kinds of words? Positive again, we could say. Uplifting words. And here's one that I think is really, speaks to a critical thing in terms of relationships with other people. Acknowledge others. Focus on what you appreciate about other people around you and let them know. Do we appreciate and we're silent about it a lot of times? Yeah. Yeah, we are. But let them know. And let others know the positive impact they have on you and your life. Bill mentioned our relationship going back about 15 years. You remember St. Paul's saying, he says, I thank my God each time I think of you. I thank my God each time I think of you. I thank Bill a lot, and I thank God every time I do. Because his friendship is special, and now Merv, and there are others, Marv, and John, and Mark, and Annabelle, and Norm. I mean, the list here, the people that I've come to know, and I'm continuing to grow in knowing, it's just wonderful. And I just want to affirm that God has worked so powerfully through you and has great things for First Baptist to do yet that we haven't even discovered. We haven't even discovered. But we will if we work on discovering them. So thank them for their contributions. How many times have you just thanked people for their friendship? How many times have you thanked people when they've corrected something you've done because of or a shortcoming? That's a hard one, I find. Go away sort of limping after me. But it's true, isn't it? You know, the Lord chastens those he loves. Good friends will chasten and correct those friends that they love and care about. So, just a point. And appreciate yourself. Celebrate who you are and what you do and the many gifts and talents you have. Live in the forgiveness and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Appreciate that. And sometimes we do struggle on just forgiving ourselves for some of the things that we do or don't do. And we need to bring that to the Lord and just lay that out to him and have him lift that from us. Remember in Psalms, as far as the east is from the west, so far has your sin been removed from you. That's a long distance. Thank goodness. So what I'm getting at here, these 5 points is when you change your conversation, when you change your life, you will change your life and the lives of you around you. And that conversation purposefully needs to shift to a grateful, thankful approach. And you know, you have a conversation with someone, and you have the opportunity, sooner or later, it could be a discussion about this, that, or the other thing, politics or whatever. But can you be the one that sheds the light in that? And I'm not saying that you sweep things under the rug. There is a reality of what happens out there. Yes, that you cannot change. But you can change the way that you approach it, and you can change what you say to others to be uplifting and encouragement. Barnabas is known as the apostle of encouragement. There's a book written on him. It's rather interesting to have it at home. Because I've always enjoyed encouraging people. So provide people with hope. Whenever you touch someone's life, can you leave some encouragement? Can you leave some hope? The saddest thing that I've run across as I've visited people over the years is to see particularly older folks who had turned sadly quite negative. And sometimes I might add they had some pretty good reasons too. And then I would find someone else that I would call on, and they've had similar types of issues, but they had adjusted. And they were positive, and they were thankful, and they were a joy to be around. I think if we have goals, let's be those kinds of people where when we're in someone else's company, it's joyful to be there. Because you uplift, you provide hope, you provide encouragement, and that's so powerful. Is it needed in our society today? Do we have opportunities? More than we can count. Go and seize them. So I'm going to just say thank you for your time here today. And if you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, I think it is, there's a great hymn, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say,
rejoice.
Rejoice. There's a real nice hymn, "Rejoice in the Lord." Pardon me. But that comes to mind. I've sung in choirs all my life. I sing in the Luther Bach choir. So music, anything could trigger something that I know here. So rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Again, if you want any of these kinds of resources that I have, let me know. I'd be more than pleased to share them with you. Maybe the Christian preamble is just a simple one sheet thing. Do something. Set an objective. What's the smallest thing that you can do of all the things that I've talked about today? Just one thing. Fix it in your mind. Set it as an objective. And after you've done that, when you can add more, by the way, just say you want to do more than one. But do the simplest, smallest thing that you can do. And it's an objective that you'll make and a promise that you'll make with your Lord. So I thank you very, very much for this. It was a great meal. And it's always a joy to visit our fellow believers in Christ, our Lord, here at First Baptist. So thank you. And God's blessing.
Thank you so much, Brian, for that challenge.